Matthew, the fifth chapter. And I want to read to you, beginning at Matthew 5th chapter, and of course, in the 5th chapter, Jesus was teaching. He had been doing a lot of teaching. So in the 5th chapter, let me get a swallow of water here. Verse 13. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, how many born again people do we have in here? If you're born again, testify by show of hands. Show of hands. All right. So now, thank you very much. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Okay. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing." Man, I don't ever want to be known as good for nothing. "But it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." And he go on to say in verse 14, "You are the light of the world." He's talking about us. And he says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You're not supposed to be hidden. We are not supposed to be hidden. "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Let me tell you something. This earth is our house in that respect. And we are supposed to be the light that is in the house. People are supposed to know who the Christians are. People should know who the believers are, because they should be shining bright. Now, Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. He said that we are the light of the world. So that means then that we are going to have to let our light shine, but we're also going to have to make sure that we keep our flavor. We keep our flavor. We got to keep our flavor. And one of the ways, and this is not the only way, one of the ways we do that is by having a fervent prayer life. Amen. You ever heard the old phrase, prayer changes things? Yeah. Prayer does change things. You hear me? Things change because we pray. Amen. So I want to talk about prayer for a little bit. You know, we should be unselfish in our praying. And before I go there, I want to say this. It's always good, especially if you have a specific time, or let me say it this way, if you have set aside time. Now, we should pray all the time. You know, you do know you can talk to the Lord anywhere. You hear me? You can talk to the Lord anywhere. But then there are times that we set aside to just spend that time with the Lord. You know, a good way to open up your prayer time is by first acknowledging who God is. by blessing him, by praising his name, and by thanking him for being good. Oh, I love that last song we just sang. God has been so faithful to us. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how things seem right now. You take it from me. God is and has been faithful to you. He's been faithful to me. No, things not always easy. We have faith challenges. We have things that we deal with in life because we are still in the earth. You hear me? We're still in the earth. You know, we're as born-again Christians, we are citizens of two worlds. We are citizens in heaven because if you're born again, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Somebody shout amen to that. Somebody testify, shout amen to that. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I hold citizenship in heaven. I hold citizenship in heaven. They know my name in heaven, and they know your name in heaven if you are born again. Your name written in the Lamb's book of life. But in the meantime, we are in the earth. We are still in our earth bodies. We are in the earth, so therefore we are citizens of two worlds. We're heavenly citizens, but we're also earthly citizens until that time that we depart and leave this earth. Amen. I'm an American citizen. And I think probably all of you here, I guess, are American citizens. So we are citizens of this world. So let me tell you something. We need to give God praise and thank him for all that he is doing in our lives while we're here on earth. The right, listen to this, the right kind of praying heart is a thankful heart. You ought to write that down. The right kind of praying heart is a thankful heart. You are thankful before you ever ask God for anything at all. You're thankful. And you let him know that. So it's always good to just take some time and just praise him and just worship him before you ask him for anything, before you make any type of request. It's always good to just bless the Lord. Y'all still with me? Hallelujah. And then, let's pray for others. Because, you know, it's real easy to pray for us, isn't it? My needs. It's easy to pray for my needs. But you know what? It should be just as easy or easier to pray for someone else's needs. Are you still here with me? So if we're going to be effective in our prayers, first of all, we need to pray for others. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5, James 5. Listen what James says. And we'll just read one verse here. It says, I said to read one verse, I might read more than one. But I'll begin at verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another. You know, and I'm going to deal with this more later on. I don't know if I get there today or not, but one of the things that frees us up in our prayer life, and like I said, we'll talk about this some more later on, but one of the things that sets us free in our prayer life is when we deal with the issues that we have with other people. Are you still here? You know, if you have offended someone, if I have offended someone, you know, I need to make that right. If I said something or did something to hurt you, sister, you know, I need to make that right. Do you know God requires it of me to make that right? Write this down. Write this down. I must never be too proud to say I'm sorry. Got something else I want you to write down right after that. I must never be too proud to say I'm sorry. Next thing is, I must never be too proud to say that I was wrong. If you were wrong, if you were wrong, say you're wrong. And we won't go over there today, but in Timothy it talks about in the last days how some folks have become high-minded and they are not willing to humble themselves and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I think I can safely say that there's not one person in this sanctuary today, including yours truly, that has not had to say at some point in time or should have said, I'm sorry. Don't ever be too proud to humble yourself. And do what's right. So, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and do what? Pray for one another that you may be healed yourself. I added yourself in there. But you know what? Sometimes we don't get the answer to our prayers until we pray for someone else's need. We need to pray for someone else's need. Let me read the verse to you again. Confess your trespasses to one another. Oh, by the way, when it comes to this pride thing, it doesn't matter who you are, what your position is. You know, I'm the pastor of this church, but that doesn't put me above anybody. If I say something wrong or do something wrong, I need to make it right. Amen. So confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I love this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man is productive. It produces fruit. It causes things to change because we pray. Because we pray. Some folks get caught up, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here too, but But some folks get caught up because they feel like they can't pray like somebody else pray. Well, let me ask you a question. You pull out a mirror and you look at that other person that prays good, and then you look at yourself. Now, if the two of you are not twins, I promise you one thing, you're going to look different. What am I saying? Not everybody's the same. But everybody can pray. Everybody can pray. You may have a soft voice, but you can still pray. You may have a strong, boisterous voice. You can still pray. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody say all men.
All men.
Or say it this way, everyone.
Everyone.
We're supposed to pray for everyone. Let me read to you again. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We are supposed to be praying for one another. Amen. Put verse 2 up there on the screen for me, please. And it goes on to say, for kings and all who are in authority. Now, we have been commanded by God to pray for everybody, which includes kings. Here in America, it would be presidents, Congress, governors, judges, police department, and we could go on and on and on. Listen to me. The Bible said we're supposed to be praying for these people. Now, what it did not say is only pray for them if you voted for them. Does it say that in your Bible? If they hold a position, we are required to pray for them. And there's a reason that it's important that we pray. Our world's in a mess. There's some things going on in this country. It's in a mess. But you know what? We have to ask ourselves before we complain, or we shouldn't complain at all, but in a negative sense anyway, but we need to ask ourselves, am I praying about this? For kings and all who are in authority, why? Now, you do know that the Apostle Paul penned this under the anointing and the authority and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Y'all know that, right? Yeah. So there is a reason we need to be praying for our president, vice president, Congress, the judicial system, all right on down the line. We need to be praying for these folks. Why? First of all, the devil is trying to disrupt everything. He's trying to cause mass chaos. here in America and around the world. But the Word of God, everybody say the Word of God. The Word of God says that we should be praying for them that we may do what? Lead a quiet and what?
Peaceful.
That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Oh, I love this. In all godliness and reverence. You see that? In all godliness and reverence. If we don't pray, you know, it's been said that, I was trying to think of the man, and I'm not going to even say his name because I don't want to get it wrong, but the statement was made that it seems like God does nothing unless his people ask him to. Well, we're told to pray for a reason. Because you have to understand, we are labor, don't you ever forget this, we are laborers together with God in this earth. That's the reason we were here. Do you know if God didn't need us here, the very moment we got saved, he just went and raptured us out of here. But he left us here for a reason, and he left us here to make a difference. He left us here to make a difference. So we are told to pray for those in authority, whether you like them or not, whether you voted for them or not, you are still to pray for them, that God would intervene in some way that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. How many of you like peace? I know I do. Amen. I don't like it when a whole lot of mess and junk's going on. I like a peaceable life. In all godliness and reverence. Verse 3, please. Now look at this. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 1 and verse 2 is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let me read the verse as it is. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's good when the people of God are praying. Praying for one another and praying for those in authority. That's good in the sight of God. God loves that. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me? Let's read on. Verse 4. I'm just letting them put it on the screen. See, who was it? Wednesday night, I believe I, if I'm not getting it wrong here, I ministered. Didn't I minister from Isaiah chapter 55 this past Wednesday night? If I didn't, I have before, but where it God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways because my ways are higher than your ways. All right? His thoughts are not our thoughts. See, what we have to do is think like God. We have to think like God. We have to find out what God likes. We have to find out what God likes. And let that be our thought pattern as well. And of course, we find that in the Word of God. But listen at what it says. Listen at what it says. This is God, who desires that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Did y'all follow that? Hallelujah. Why should we pray for our leaders. Why should we pray for leadership? Because God wants all to be saved. He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are countries right now that they are not allowed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God wants everybody born again. God wants everybody to hear the gospel. God wants them all to be, want all of them to be saved. Verse 5. And listen to this. See, he wants them to hear the gospel. Why? For there is one God and one, everybody say one God.
One God.
One mediator. Amen. One God and one mediator between God and man. Who is the mediator that connects us with God? Jesus Christ himself. For there is one man and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. That is the gospel that must be preached. But we got to pray. Maybe one more verse, verse 6. Listen at this. This is Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. See, folks, we gotta think like God thinks. Well, I ain't praying for him. I ain't praying for her. Blah, 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 blah. Hold on. What did God say? Because sometimes we can't get beyond our personal feelings. But God sees the big picture. And the big picture is God wants the lost saved. God wants his gospel preached. And that door is opened when we pray. You hear me? Glory to God. Y'all still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then, of course, we know that we can pray for our own needs. Is that right? Amen. We can pray for our own needs. And I'm just trying to decide if I want to go any further today. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop today, and we'll pick this up next time. But I want you to understand why we need to pray. We can't be selfish. We got to take on God's mindset. We got to think like God thinks. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so, what? Loved the world. He loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's coming a time, and I don't believe that time is far away. There's coming a time when men will not have the opportunity to be born again. One of those times is if they die in their sins, if they die before they are saved. But we need to do all that we can to help bring in the harvest. And it must begin through prayer, praying for one another, praying for those that are in authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, may we have a heart.